Well, that song was beautiful. Thank you for that. I didn't know we had so many young people left in here this afternoon. That encouraged me. I know this is an afternoon service, and I don't think that the Lord chooses afternoon services just to kind of check off the list that you had service and everybody goes home. And I feel like that I'm very inspired with the message that I have this afternoon. And I hope that you can stay with me. Now, I can't help but pass this along. I remember when I was a teenager, was sitting in service and Brother Ed got up. Clint was sitting beside me. And Brother Ed said, he said, some people say that when they close their eyes during service, they're just resting their eyes. And he said, I would kindly ask you if you want to rest your eyes to please stand up. Clint leaned over and said, I hope Dad's not going for another record tonight. I don't plan on preaching a real long time, but I have a message that's important. And you see, because there's one of two things that are going to happen. Either tomorrow is going to come, or you're going to face the Lord. Just one of those two things is going to happen. There are not any other options. Tomorrow's going to come, or I'm going to face the Lord. And because of that, the choices that I make today, the choices that I make going from this service, they're going to be important. And I want you to know that I am perfectly happy to preach to a standing congregation. If you need to stand, stand. I am struck this afternoon by the brevity and the uncertainty of life. Our lives don't last that long. They don't last forever. The scripture says, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And I know that when you're young, and I still consider myself young, but when you're young, you hear these sorts of things. Well, I did. And you think, well, there's so much life ahead of you. It seems like that it applies to maybe older people. But to you, as youth, why, it seems like you're just getting started. But I want to say something this afternoon. You have no guarantees. And at best, life is short. And as soon as you start losing those that are close to you, or you start looking behind you and you might probably have more years behind you than you have in front of you, I've just reached that point, you start thinking about life is passing by. I want to make wise decisions in my life. Young people, make wise decisions. You see, you can listen to older folks talk this way, and you can think, well, you know, they just want to... Maybe not everyone thinks this. But you may think, well, they just, you know, it sounds like the right thing to say. Sounds like the mature thing to say. You know, an older one talking to a younger one, you know, life is quick. But there's two categories of people too. There are middle-aged and older folks who give you that advice because they have felt the pain of the alternative. Or there are those that give you that advice because they made the right choice and they see the pain that was associated with the path that they didn't go down, and they're so glad they didn't go down it. And so you have a choice this afternoon. You can take the advice. You can consider it. You can recognize that this life is not going to go on forever. And you have no guarantees that you will reach 70 or 80 years old or more. You might not reach it. Might be your last day. I don't know. But I do know this. Every person that's in this congregation this afternoon, God has blessed you with an opportunity that 100% of the people that are in here can make it to heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that the good news of the gospel? That every single one in here, we can make it. You can make it. But you have a choice to make. I want to read a passage in the 12th chapter of Luke. In the 12th chapter of Luke, in the 15th verse, it said, "And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." And he went on and he said, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do." As we read through this, notice all the I's in here. "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." This first verse that we read said, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. You know, a lot of times we can read this verse and we can hear the word covetous and we can quickly think, correct me if I'm wrong, we can quickly think of material things, right? Don't covet. And you think about things. You think about, okay, I shouldn't covet houses and lands and cars and position and things. But the burden that I have this afternoon goes more to a condition of heart. And that is, if we can get this condition that I want to talk about, those other things will take care of themselves. Yes, I can covet wanting position. I can covet wanting to be perceived by those around me in a certain way. Now, I can covet having a good job and a good career, climbing the corporate ladder. I can covet all of these things. But I want to impress upon your minds this afternoon, do you know what struck me so much the other day when I read this verse? It was, beware of coveting having your own way. Take heed and beware of always having to have your own way, having too high of an opinion of what you want and what you think is important. We live in a me generation. This is a me generation that we live in. People think an awful lot of their opinion. And if you don't think so, just ask them. I think quite a bit of my opinion. You think quite a bit of your opinion. You make decisions on it every day. But you know what gives me pause? Is that I can think of people that we hold in high esteem. You think of someone that you hold in very high esteem. The highest esteem that you might give to a person. If they were to give you advice to go do something that was completely against what you wanted to do, was completely contrary to the way that you really wanted to go, no matter how much you thought of that person, how often do you think that you would say, you know, they recommended a different way, and as much as I want this way, I'm going to take their advice? Well, it happens, but it doesn't happen enough. You see, we covet having our own way. We covet too much our own opinion, having it and following after it. And yet what concerns me is this scripture is so clear. It says, the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. And yet what do we try to do all the time? Try to direct our own steps. We think so much of what we think. I put so much importance on what I believe to be true. And the multitudes, the cloud of witnesses of God's people that have lived successfully, met God in peace, had a testimony and a life to back it up. They come along and they teach us and they minister to us. And they say, this is the way, walk ye in it. And it's based on Scripture. It's not just their opinion. It's based on wisdom and it's based on the Spirit and it's based on filling a place that the Lord wants them to fill. And a love for those that are coming after them. And they come and they bring that to us. And we have that and then we have a decision to make. And so often, it astounds me. People that have lived so few years in this world. Yes, I have teenagers. And they're good children. But it astounds me that young people can so quickly feel so confident about what they think. And you know what? I did the same thing. I wasn't any different than they. Things seem so clear as you go through life. The younger you are, the older you get, the more uncertain things become. The wiser people seem to get. And the Lord told us, take heed. In other words, listen up. Be careful. Take heed and beware of covetousness. Take heed and beware that you don't put too much importance on having to have your way. Don't put too much importance on your thought process. Be willing to open your heart and open your mind to something that is a little bit different that may come your way. Listen to the parable. We've read this many times. This man, he had his ground brought forth plentifully, so he had some decisions to make. He had some options, if you will. And so he looked at his options and he looked his ground brought forth plentifully and he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns. I'll build greater barns. I'll put all these things in store for who? For me. Yeah, he was thinking about himself. He was thinking about his future. And he said, then I'll tell myself, soul, take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. Everything's going to be okay. But he failed to consider that there was something bigger in life than his barns, than the goods in his barns. There was something that was more important than what it was he wanted, what it was he put value on. And when he got it all planned out, I can just see him sitting in his chair at home. Got everything planned out. Got his plan in place. And all of a sudden, wonder who that is. Goes to the door and opens the door, and there's the Lord. He said, sir, this is your day. Today's your day. You're going to meet me today. The other Sunday, I was in Jefferson. I think several of you were there. And it struck me that somebody here today is next in line. The Lord could line us all up in this chapel tonight in order of when we were going to meet Him. That's right. And somebody here is at the first of the line. And it doesn't always go by age. Many times it doesn't. I might be the first in the line. You might start us right there and just have us line up. I wonder what your number is. I wonder what mine is. Oh, a lot of times we think, well, it's not going to be me. You know, it's always somebody else. It's somewhere out in the future. And we make all these plans and we make all these decisions. And we're willing to take risks with our spiritual lives. We're willing to operate in what I'm going to call spiritual gray zones, where you challenge somebody to give you scripture and a verse on why you can't do this. You know a lot of times why you're so apt to operate in the gray zone? Because you don't think you're first in line. You put yourself first in line, and you will find that all of a sudden your choices, your decision making changes. I was in Alabama a year or two ago at the singing. Maybe some of you were there. And there was a man from the community. I think he was from the community. Got up, hadn't been around the saints forever. And he stood up and he said, people say they don't really know what the Lord wants from him. He said, but I want to tell you something. He said, when you get right down to where you think you're going to die, it becomes real clear what you think the Lord wants from you. It's important. It's critical. This is serious business. Yes, this man had it all figured out. This is what I'm going to do. And the Lord came along and he said, this is your night, thou fool. Well, all of those things. You had all your plans and all your purposes. He said, you're going to face me tonight. But he didn't stop there. And this struck me. He didn't stop there. He told him something else. He asked him a question. He said, now, whose are all of those things going to be that you thought was so important? What now? Then what? What then? You had it all figured out? If you're in your youth and you got your plans all plotted, or maybe you're making decisions to take off in a different direction than what you've been taught, what's been proven and tried. What happens when the Lord comes along and says, well, this is your day. Now, what about those plans that you had? What about all those reasons? What about all those justifications that seemed just so right? What about all those justifications that other people maybe couldn't just give you a scripture and verse with a thou shalt not? What now? How much is it worth? What's it worth to you now? What does the scripture say? It says, what will a man profit? If you gain the whole world and lose your soul, or what will a man give in exchange for a soul? Can you think of anything? Think about it. Car? How about that? How about a mansion on the hilltop? How about a big house with a lake in the front, mountains in the background? That's what I'd like to have. Eastern Oregon sounds good. For eternity, for your soul? For eternity? How about position, recognition? That gets some people's attention. How about fitting in? If you're in high school, you're in college, you're just starting out, how about fitting in? Everybody looking at you and feeling like, yeah, they've got it. They've got it together. How much is that worth to you? Your soul? Eternity? Forever? And then do you know what strikes me? I read these verses to you where it says, what shall a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange? And there's probably nobody in this room this afternoon that would say, I've got an example. Everyone will agree, I suspect, that you wouldn't give anything in exchange. Right? People here, you would agree. There's nothing that we would give in exchange. And then you know what we quickly tell ourselves? And my priorities are all lined up and are all okay. I agree with the verse. Wouldn't give anything in exchange. And then we're so quick. The enemy is so quick to tell you, and you're okay. You're not giving anything in exchange. You got your priorities just where they need to be. And just go ahead and move on. The enemy would like you just to move on. Don't think about it anymore. Everything's okay. That concerns me. And it concerns me because according to the scripture, Most people are not in an acceptable state. The way is broad because it has to encompass those that we talked about this morning that choose to not follow the Lord. But it has to also be big enough to take in those that says, I'll go, but they want to do it their own way. They want to serve God on their own terms, see? I want to look at what I want. I want to go where I want. I want to dress like I want. I want to listen to what I want. I want to associate with who I want. But I feel like I can do it in a way that the Lord knows my heart and everything's okay. Really? What's it worth? What happens when the Lord comes and He says, it's your turn? 41, right? It's your turn. What would possibly be worth taking chances? What would possibly be worth living in that zone where I'm always trying to convince myself and others and God that everything's okay? There's nothing that's worth it, folks. Nothing. The Lord asked him, what then? Whose are those things going to be that you worked so hard for, that you put your life into, that you gave your heart and your affections to, that you allowed to rise to the top on those things that of importance? Now what? Then what? What now? Because none of it's going to make any difference now. Only the condition of your soul is what's going to make a difference. I want to get it right. I want to get it right. I want to make the right decision. Where do we stand today? I thought of the verse in Revelation, we referred to it this morning. Jesus, the Lord, was talking to the churches. And He said, I know thy works. He was talking to the church at Laodicea. He said, I know thy works. Did you know the Lord knows your works? You don't have to explain it to Him. He didn't ask Him, what are your works? And then let me tell you how I think you're doing. He just made a really short statement. I know your works. Gulp. Nothing I can say. Speechless. Okay. Period. I know your works. And He knows your works. And He knows your heart. And He knows your motives. And He knows why you're doing what you're doing. He knows why you make the decisions that you make, even if no one else does, even if you have everyone else fooled. He knows. And He came along and He said, I know thy works. And He said, and you're not hot and you're not cold. And I wish that you were hot, or I wish that you were cold. But because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. That's what happens. You know what it takes to stay cold, or what it takes to stay hot? It takes a constant source of energy. Because if you don't have a constant source of energy, you will become at ambient temperature. You will become acclimated to what's around you. You'll become acclimated to what seems right. You'll become acclimated to what everyone else around you is saying, this is okay. To stay hot or to stay cold, you have to have a constant source of energy keeping you there, no matter what's going on around you. And the Lord said, I wish that you were hot or cold, but you're not. You're lukewarm. And because of that, if they didn't change, He was going to have to get rid of them. And He went on and He said, because thou sayest, still talking to the same people. This is what we read this morning. Because thou sayest, thou art rich and increased with goods. What was He talking about? Was He talking about because you think you have nice houses and cars and lands and clothes? Is that what He's talking about? No. Because you think you are rich spiritually, because you feel like that everything is okay from a spiritual standpoint, and that you don't have need of anything, and maybe you're resistant to advice, you're resistant to the voice of the Spirit. He said, "And know ye not that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked?" He's talking to the churches, folks. He wasn't out on the highways and hedges. He was talking to us. He was talking to the church. And he wants to talk to us this afternoon. And he wants to plead with us. "I know your works. I know where you are. And I want you to be on fire for me. I want you to choose my side. I don't want you to go the other way. I don't want you to be lukewarm. I don't want you to just see what you think you can get by with and still make it in. That's a dangerous way to go. It's a lukewarm way to go. It's a way that won't end in victory. Be willing to stand alone. Be willing to do without of this world's things. Because the Lord said, if you'll let go of your pennies, I'll give you pearls." Yes. Just let go. If you'll let go of the things that you think are so valuable, I'll fill you with true riches. I think it was the last time I was here. We talked about the field of great treasure, didn't we? And the pearl of great price. And the field that had great treasure in it, the for sale sign was such that everybody could afford it. It just said you have to give all. That means everyone could afford the field. You just have to give everything you have. It doesn't mean that what you have is equivalent to the value of the field. It just means the Lord said, "Give me your all and I'll give you real treasure." That's what He's asking for us today. Don't be like the man that had it all figured out, coveted his own way, coveted getting what he wanted, but was willing to stand back and say, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" He counseled them to buy something that costs something, gold. But he said it's tried and fire. It's going to cost something, but you end up with gold. And you end up with a raiment that's unspotted. So that when you meet the Lord, He can say, "Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You listened. You followed. You gave me your heart. You gave me your all. Come on in." Isn't that what you want? That's what I want. I don't want to get up there and have the Lord look at me with disappointment. Say, "Rod, thou fool, what were you thinking? I gave you a heritage. I allowed you to be around those that taught you the truth. I allowed you to be around people who lived a life that you could pattern yours after, and it was a safe way to live. What happened? Why did you do that? And the things that you thought were so important, the things that were so important to you that you were willing to go away because of it, now what? What then? How much is it worth now?" It's not worth a thing. It's not worth the paper that it's written on. There was also a parable of the rich man, and we won't read it for the sake of time. But remember the rich man that was arrayed in fine purple, and he ate everything that he wanted, and he had everything he wanted, but there came a time where all of the things that he had for himself, he coveted his own way, he coveted having what he wanted. There came a time when he wanted. See? Things got turned around. And we can read that parable and think, well, that just applies to rich people. And I want to present this for your consideration. This parable, I believe, applies to every single person who is rich in wanting your own way, who is rich in living life in a way that just seems right to you, where you're where you're resistant to advice, you're resistant to those places that might, that you feel like is a closer life than necessary, where you're too quick to push it off, where you're rich in just wanting your way and I can do it alone and it's me and God. It's not worth it. Who will you affect? If you make it, what about your children? What about those that are looking on? Paul said in the second chapter of Hebrews, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels, who is he talking about? Celestial angels that come down and speak in ways that most people don't hear? No. Those that minister to you. Godly parents, mothers in Israel, concerned fathers, ministers in your congregations. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and it is, all right? And if every disobedience received a just recompense of reward, what did he say? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? The Lord speaks to us through His Spirit, through His Word, through other people, through people that He has put in places to teach us. And do you remember in that story of the rich man and Lazarus? Do you remember what the rich man asked for at the very end? What were two of the things he asked for? First, he asked for a drop of water. But then this, think about what he asked. What did he ask for next? Could you have somebody rise from the dead? Go tell my brothers what this is all about. And for a long time, it's hard to put your hands around it because it said, no. They had the law and the prophets. If they wouldn't hear them, they're not going to hear if somebody was raised from the dead. I thought, really? It seems like if somebody came from the dead, that really captured my attention. But you know what? The Lord's way is to bring His Word, His prophets, people, ministers, parents, concerned people that are led by the Lord to deliver us the Word that His Spirit then comes and helps make real to us in a personal way. Yes. And then we have a choice to make. Yes. Don't think that you can just live. Young people, in the world today where everybody just wants to live however they want, and you tell others, no one's supposed to judge me, and it's just between me and the Lord, and it's a heart thing, and things don't matter, and God's... Listen, that's dangerous. Yes. Because that's not how God set it up. God set it up to have people in place to teach us, to speak to us so that then His Spirit could come and deal with us. And He said, so take the more earnest heed. He didn't just say, take earnest heed. We could say, well, I'm taking earnest heed. He said, take more earnest heed. How earnest of a heed are we taking this afternoon? Take the more earnest heed. Live life with a no regret approach. Make decisions that's a no regret approach. We say, well, who here would like to take a regret approach to life? Raise your hands. There's nobody here that would say, I'd like to take a regret approach to life. I'd like to regret my life. We all would say, I want a no regret. And yet the masses all around us are employing a regret approach to life. Why do they do that? They think they're not the first in line. Might be a reason. Think they have time. Yes. Think that I can change later. They don't have a guarantee on time. They may be deceived. They may have pushed away the Spirit so often that no longer do they feel the leadings of the Lord. So they make decisions It's a regret approach. There are some people that just hope things are going to turn out okay. In the business world, hope is not a strategy. In the business world, hope is not a strategy. That's a bad thing to come to your boss with and say, well, I hope. Spiritually speaking, hope that is not based on truth, that's not based on the word, that's not based on principles of righteousness and holiness is not a good spiritual strategy. It doesn't work. If you cut corners in your spiritual life and you just hope that things are going to turn out okay, I can ignore the weeds in my garden today, but tomorrow they're still going to be there. As much as I don't like them, as much as I wish they weren't there, as much as I wish I didn't have to address them, they're going to still be there. If I paint my house the worst color in the neighborhood that's just awful today because I get some crazy idea, guess what? Tomorrow, it's going to be the same color. It's a result. It's a consequence of my action. Think about the decisions that you make, not just for yourself, but for your children. In geometry, it looks like all you're doing is deviating just a little bit. I'm just going to deviate a little bit from what is right. Maybe this is the way up. And we say, well, I'm just going to operate down here. It's not so bad. It's not so bad. I'm close. I can manage it. Time goes on. And look what happens.
Yes.
And now here's where your children come along.
That's it.
And then they look at you and then they look, here's the standard. But you decided that you had it all figured out back here. Decided, I understand. I'll be okay. I know what the Lord really wants. Well, maybe you do. But if you live that way, you don't. Because you get on down the road a ways, and that is a regret approach to life. Because then you get to this place down here, and you start being a grandparent, and you start seeing your grandchildren, that it's like, what happened? I never intended for this to happen. They're just following after the way that you went. They weren't taught what you were taught. They didn't know what you knew. For what? Is it worth it? Then what? There is going to come an end. Either tomorrow's coming and we will bear the consequences of the decisions we made today, or we're going to face the Lord and give an account for it. I want to be a good steward of the knowledge and the truth that the Lord gave me. The parable of the talents, where he gave somebody one, and he gave another one two, and he gave another one five. I often think of the parable of the talents as talents of knowledge. And folks, he gave us talents of much knowledge, of truth. And I can't look out into the world to people who may be saved. I'm not saying they're not saved, but I can't look at them with the knowledge of truth that they had and decide that that's how I'm going to live because they're okay, so I must be able to do that too. When God has given me five talents of knowledge, and when he came back, if the man had got to himself the same amount of talents back that the man that had two talents had, he would have said, you didn't do well. I expected more out of you than that. I gave you more to work with than that. I want to leave a good heritage to my children, to my grandchildren, to those that are following after me. I don't want to be in the place where I get to the place where I look back and I think, for what? Why did I do that? What value is it now? But I want to be in the place where I can look back and say, by the Lord's help, I want to be like Paul. I want to be able to get to the end of the way and say, time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. And henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. But he didn't stop there. And unto all them that love his appearing. I want to be part of that number. Pray for me.